Well, hopefully this morning you're ready to not necessarily come to church, but be the church. The church is a people. You know, Thor and Asgard stole that idea from the Bible. You know, it's really true that the church are the called out ones. And so as we've been marching through Galatians, we really just love to hear, what is God teaching all of us? And not that each one of us gets 45 minutes to have a PowerPoint or points or anything like that, but just would love to have a chance for each one of us to, or not every single one of us has to do this, but just an open forum for us to teach and share with another. So just a couple thoughts to kind of prep our time, and then really just going to open it up. First is just kind of some review with Galatians. I'm just always encouraged as I go through the book of Galatians, just the starkness of how clear the gospel is, how adamant Paul is that remains the central thing for them, and that there really is no other thing. And that as soon as you add one other thing, say it's Jesus plus, you have to read this book. You can accept Jesus, but you have to read this other book too. Or it's Jesus and the number of conferences I've been to, or Jesus and whatever else it could be. Jesus plus my obedience, Jesus plus anything else, and the gospel is no longer pure. It's not the powerful, simple gospel that Jesus came. And that's kind of the overarching theme of Paul's call as a father in the faith, say, please come back to that simple gospel. Oh, foolish Galatians. And so really his concluding thoughts, which we didn't really go through in chapter 6, but his concluding thoughts, it's in verse 12 of chapter 6, it says, it's those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. So really, where is this other gospel coming from? It's really being animated by two ideas. One, I want to feel good in my flesh. I want people to know I'm somebody. Do you know how many times I've read through the Bible front to back? I am somebody. I have done something. Now, that's a good showing in the flesh. It's those that would want to make a good showing that would force you to do these things. So they want a good showing. They want significance and importance apart from the gospel, and in order that they may not be persecuted, right? It goes better for me. It feels more comfortable. It's more my bubble of safety for when I don't have to go out and just say, it's Christ alone, the cross of Christ alone. And that's really Paul's heart. He says, circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only a new creation. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. This morning, the only thing that counts for me, for you, for any of us, as we walk in God's economy, is faith expressing itself through love, being a new creation. Somebody who's 2 seconds old in the faith, for somebody who's been serving Jesus for 70 years, you remember the parable, they got paid the same wage by the person that asked them to work. It's all grace. It's all grace. It's nothing else that we can add to it. So just some review. There's a lot of great things in this book that reminds us, and really what our heart is, obviously, is not just to know the verses in our head, but to be experiencing and walking these out and how they're transforming our lives. So we're going to open it up in somewhat of a open style just for others to get to share. Again, please, somewhere between 5-ish, 7-ish minutes max, and we'd have more time afterwards in the potluck if you'd like to go and share more with each other and with friends. But just want to open it up for everybody to get a chance that would want to. I don't know if you want to add anything before we start, or if you want to jump into the flow. Okay, so Pat will jump in the flow. We've got, if it bless you, we've got disinfecting wipes. We can wipe off the microphone if that'd be a blessing. So with that, who would like to open our teaching this morning on Galatians? Come on up.
All right. I like the last verse. As Pat says, the last verse of chapter 4. The Bible people call it the first verse of chapter 5. But it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And there's been a lot that's gone on in our world since we've been studying Galatians, and a lot of freedom issues, whether that's freedom to express yourself or your identity or your feel comfortable with your race or your skin or how you respond to a disease. There's a lot of freedom issues. And for me, that one just really speaks to my heart that this isn't where my freedom is. It's not in this world. It doesn't matter. If I was in jail like Paul was, I would have freedom in Christ. And so it gives me hope and peace in my heart that I have an incredible freedom. No matter what this world is doing, there's something that's a lot bigger.
So last week, Pat's talk about, just the theme that we've been talking about, it's Jesus plus nothing, right? I don't know, there was something about how you said it that hit my heart that I don't know. I kind of knew that, but like growing up, I was like, oh yeah, I do have all these pluses, these evangelical, like you got to do this and this and this and check this box. And, was really convicted about that. And it was really timely because, a couple days later, one of my new coworkers invited me over and we got to talking and she was very open about her, you know, being really hurt by a church a long time ago, in the same way. And because I had been so recently convicted about my own doing that in my own life, I was able to like kind of on behalf of her old church be like, look, I know I've been part of this problem and I'm sorry, you know, and will you forgive me? And really feel that. So it was like, I don't know. It was just super huge, and the timing of it was so cool, and I just feel like, oh, yeah, the freedom of not having the plus is bigger than I've realized. So it's just been very exciting.
I guess I'll use the microphone for the Zoom people, but probably don't need it anyway. I was touched by a verse from the Message Bible, Galatians 3, 11 through 12. Yeah, adding all kinds of stuff. The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God in that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Habakkuk had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Rule-keeping does not naturally evolve into life by faith, and only perpetuates itself in more and more rule-keeping, a fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, rule-keeping, continues to live by them.
I think in general for me, the most encouraging has just been the ongoing Jesus plus nothing and just refreshed in the true gospel. So that's been amazing. I'm really thankful for just my heart refreshed in that. Probably the most practical way I saw things play out in Galatians was just looking at the fruits of the Spirit versus fruits of the flesh. I was gone that week, but I listened to it online. And it was a really good time for me to hear it because Bethany and I had an argument. I don't remember what it was about, but I remember I was right. And I was really sure I was right. Like, there's sometimes, okay, I might have been a little bit wrong. But this one, I was like, really, really right. But then I was listening to this message, and Nathan's talking about fruits of the flesh versus fruits of the Spirit. And I felt like the Spirit just convicting me of Were you in the Spirit? Were you being kind? Were you being loving? Were you being gentle? And it was like, no, I wasn't doing any of those. So just thinking, wow, okay, I wasn't in the Spirit. And so how do I change that? Is it working really hard? Is it, saying I'm never going to do that again? It's like, no, it's just re-yielding to the Spirit and saying, yep, I was in the flesh. That was wrong. Spirit, I need you. I need you to engage and I need your help to love. And then it's been amazing. Like when I've consciously done that, when I feel my flesh rising up and consciously re-yield to the Spirit, it's like, oh, I'm not having to try to be patient. I'm just seeing more fruit of patience at work because God's living through me and I'm yielded to that. So that's been really cool.
So this rereading and rereading and rereading of Galatians is great. It's great for me. I get a lot through repetition, and it's good to be reminded of all the truths around the gospel. And the Lord has a way of bringing those things home to you when you're trying to really study and learn from him. And so I had a situation develop at work in which I made an error that I didn't realize it at first, but when I finally realized it, it was just so heavy for me because I could not fix it. And normally everything that I engage in, it has to, I work in an insurance office, so it's like, oh, I can call this company and have them do this, or I can reverse this charge, or I can, whatever, add this to the policy, whatever. It was just something that there was no answer, and I just stewed about it for days and days, and I felt like, I just felt so, like I was wrong, like I did something wrong and I can't undo it. And I don't know what the answer is. And I felt kind of cut off from the Lord, from the Spirit. And, he was gracious to continually remind me that I could still turn to him, and that even though I felt like, I was in this place where, it felt like sin, even though I couldn't really nail it. It's like, did I really sin? I don't know. I made this error, but maybe not consciously. Anyway, he was just really good to very slowly and patiently walk me through that. And in light of the gospel, just kind of bring me to that point where like, nope, you can't do anything. You can't fix it. And you really can't fix yourself. And it really helped me to become aware that there were all sorts of ways in which I felt like I had to make myself right before I could access his Spirit and access his presence. And, it's not something that I would have ever consciously thought, but he was bringing that to light for me. So it was just really helpful to just really absorb that fact that what I do, the works that I do, do not save me, and oftentimes I can't do anything even in the natural to to save myself. I just have to rely on him. And then he did work out some circumstances where even that circumstance at work was resolved in a good way. So that was really cool. And then kind of right after that, I got into this discussion with my coworkers who are kind of new believers, and it was just a really good discussion about it's a husband and wife, and wife was kind of landing on the side of, no, it's all Jesus. And husband was kind of landing on the side of, well, yes, I believe that, but you also have to blah, 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 blah. And so they called me in during lunch and they were like, hey, you're a Christian, you read the Bible, what do you think about this? And it was just so awesome to just be able to kind of give them some verses from Galatians and talk through it with them and say, hey, what do you guys think about this verse? And what do you think this means? And anyway, it's fun how the Lord does those things and keeps things. He like makes something fresh and then he gives you an opportunity to pass it on.
Hi, everybody. I missed all of Galatians. I was gone the whole time. So I just wanted to say how great it was. No, it really was like really super meaningful for me, even though I wasn't here for like three of the chapters total. But I was kind of following along and all that we were doing. And man, this verse, as Galatians ends and you jump into Ephesians, this verse stuck out like as I was reading. For me, it was this. It was Galatians 1:18. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he's given those he's called, his holy people who are rich in his glorious inheritance. And so for me, even though I was only catching pieces, every time I came to it, it felt like I was walking into a room that a stew was cooking. Does that make sense? Like a good stew, not the same old stew in the crock pot that it always smells like. I'm talking like something good, like maybe a barbecue. That's the one. Like, oh, that smells good. And so does that make any sense? Anyway, so like that's what it felt like. And so as I was, the verse that really stuck out was in, I mean, obviously all of it's so good, but the verse that was stuck out was in 5. Oh, if I can't get there. So, man, what you said at the beginning was what, and John had kind of mentioned this to me, even when we were talking about, you guys are going to start maybe reading Galatians, right? And John had said, you know, he just reminded me of that verse, you know, what is important is faith is expressing itself in love. And I felt like just as a person coming in and only catching the bits and pieces, I felt like that's what I just kept hearing, like express, know the love and express the love. And so it was super good. And then for me personally, like I just felt that in the congregation, but me personally, man, as we're preparing to go to a place and it ramps up daily, you know, like it's, things are at an arm's length sometimes, you know, oh, that'll happen someday. And then all of a sudden that thing comes right there and the door opens and you go, oh, that could happen right now, you know, if it needed to. And so you, okay, Lord, whoa. And I just don't feel prepared or ready ever, you know, or that I might possess all the pluses I need to have to be a good leader, to help a church foster and grow. And Jesus is like, put that to bed. It's like, Brian, I called you. You know the gospel. You've known me. What are you worried about? It's not about you possessing all the things. Although we're going to put people around you and they're going to pour into you and fill you. But yeah, it's not a mistake. You know the gospel. You know. You'll defend it. And I thought, man, it's just such a relief. Because as we go to share it, there's this intense idea that, man, if you don't get that, and it's important, it's that gospel, but it's a paring down and making sure that it's just the gospel. So for me, it was super confirming. Just felt like the Lord said, Brian, I'm ready. You need to be ready for that. And you're like, oh, so it's not about me, right? So it was just super good. So I want to thank you guys for leading in that. And it was just awesome. I'm super COVID-y.
Hi. I have been marinating in a lot of this lately. Not meditating, marinating. I've just been living in the soup. For many years, man, in our 30s, we were living a life that was, we were convinced that we need to do the law. Work really hard towards the law. And that's a whole story I could write a book about, and I probably will someday. So Galatians talks directly to me a little more than maybe some of you after 10 years of that. And the thing that came to my life during that time was I was really great at being judgy. I like gold stars all around for judging every single person I knew. And I think that in my heart, that's what it brought in my life. Just because I needed that to be, you know, my blessing was going to be bigger because I didn't eat pork. And my blessing was going to be bigger because we celebrated Sabbath on Saturday as opposed to Sunday like all the Christian pagans. Anyway, so that's a, sorry, I really like gold stars. Really, really. So anyway, so my favorite verse in Galatians that really spoke to me is, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is no male nor female, for you all are one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to his promise. Then you jump over to the next one because there wasn't a break. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is an owner of everything, but he is under the guardians and managers until the date set by his father. And the thoughts that God has been really putting in my life recently about this is that in this world right now, we're living in a very, very, very divisive world. It's always us and them. And no matter who you talk to, there's a them. And it depends. Sometimes I'm the them, depending on some people I talk to. I hate feeling like I'm their them, their enemy. But there is no them. There is no them. And until we understand that, under Christ, there is no them. And we need to see everybody as an us. And God talks about that. There's no Jews nor Greeks. There's no them. And I think that's the biggest falsehood of all our beliefs and everybody's beliefs, but especially in the Christendom. And anyway, so that's just my 10 cents.
All right. Galatians has been huge. I loved that we were doing it because it really was the book that God gave me for many years. I actually listened to it every night before bed for probably a year or two, just because I needed the truth and I needed to know that it wasn't what I was doing. It wasn't my performance or behavior. And so it's been so sweet to come back, and still there's new things I learned this month. So it's so cool how God's word is so deep that we never get to the bottom of it. So one of the biggest themes that God has really been building on in my life is that it's best to live in reality. Whether you like the reality or not, it's always best to live there. So something happened in your past you don't like, you can't deal with it properly unless you acknowledge what it is, and then you can move forward. Something's happening in your world right now, you can't do it. And I spent a lot of time going, well, it shouldn't be like this, right? I shouldn't have to do this. I shouldn't have to this. I shouldn't have to, you know, modify my life different than it was in January because of whatever, anything else, right? Well, the reality is there is different things. And so it wasn't until I could grab that and be in reality. So then I was, one of the thoughts from Galatians was here in chapter 4, verse 21, the Hagar and Sarah example. And so, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. The son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. These are two covenants, right? One is in slavery and one is in freedom and is a son. And the thought from there, I've had lots of different thoughts, but the thought recently has been, we can live in a reality like we are Hagar's child, but the truth is, if we've believed Jesus, we are Sarah's child. We're the child of the promise. And if we don't live in the reality of who we are, which is a child of the promise, and all of the things God say about us are true, we actually can't respond well. And a lot of the things that go wrong or seem to go wrong in our life is because we actually aren't, we're disassociated, right, from reality. And so we can't, we're responding in the shadow world instead of in the real world. And so that is the big thing. God keeps coming back. And when I go somewhere and I don't want to deal with it, or it's really hard, or I don't want to acknowledge, God's like, do you want to live in reality? And I've just had so many sweet times that I'm like, yes, I do. And that will bring me through and to making whatever hard decision, because it is always best to be in reality. And it's the way we can respond, and it's where he is. And So that's been my big thought.
I've been meditating. I think, like Brian shared, for me, what really stuck out is the thing that, let's hear. So, let's hear, where are we at? And, 5:5, it says, where am I at? For through the Spirit, we eagerly await for the faith that righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And what's been really hitting me is how that's active. Because we can just sit and say, oh, it's grace, and just sit on there and eat potato chips on the couch. And, you know, and that's true. Like, you can do that, and Jesus covers it. I'm not saying, oh, man, you're the law again at you. I got gold stars, too. I like gold stars. I'm like, look at me. I'm so great. So not that, but it's how it's active and just how eagerly awaiting for Jesus is active. It's not a passive thing. So like when I'm working on programming or something and I feel stupid because I should know how to do this, you know, that's me. I'll be like, oh, then there's an opportunity here to say, okay, where am I going to rest? Am I going to rest in faith in Jesus Christ? It's grace. I'm covered. I'm okay. God help me through this. Or am I going to push through that? And a lot of times I see stuff as like metaphors in my head. And one of them is lifting weights. Like when you exercise, you're actually ripping down the muscles, fibers, and building them back up. And so when you're exercising your faith muscles, you're building up your faith in that. And linking this to like, this is not Galatians, but James, you know, count all joy when you, brothers and sisters, count all joy when you face various trials of many kind. And how that produces perseverance. That's the grace that God's showing. So through grace and through resting in Jesus actively, we're building up our faith muscles. And when you start moving weights, if someone's lifting the bar, this big burly guy, and he's just lifting the bar, I'm going to go, he's just lifting the bar. I can't lift the bar. So I'd be like, whoa, that's amazing. Truth. But then if you slap on 445s on both sides and he's lifting it, you're going to go, whoa, that guy's strong. Well, where do you see that? You see that when there's trials, when you're saying, I'm going to rest in the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm going to rest in grace. That's when you see how much faith that person has or strength in the analogy. It's not when you're doing the easy thing. It's when you're really, and that's when you really understand who you are and who you are in Christ. So I've been just kind of meditating on that, like, okay, God, when I'm getting triggered, which is every day, every hour it seems, it's like, okay, God, where am I? Am I going to build my relationship in you? Am I going to trust in you? What? So like I'll say, okay, God, I'm not walking this perfectly, but okay, God, what do you want me to know? Right now I'm feeling upset. I feel stupid. I feel shame. I feel fear. What do you want me to know about this, God? Because it's the relationship here. So where am I standing? Because you say this, but this feels true right now. So just, can we just talk? And it doesn't have to be the TPM mode, like, man, okay, how you know, does that feel 100% true? Now I can go to God. It's just like, no, God, right now this is triggering me. I believe that you want to speak truth to me. You won't withhold wisdom to me. So what do you want to know? What do you want me to know? And then trust. Test that, of course. Don't go like, oh, he said blah. I mean, there's some filtering here, but just thinking about it. So that's kind of been my main meditating through Galatians and kind of James, kind of linking them together because there's kind of a black and white. Not black and white. They flow together, but it's like, okay, well, James is all about, I'll show you my faith through what I do. And so it's like, oh, no, it is. It's the same. It links together. So that's kind of my thought process I've been having lately, just meditating over what is grace, what does that look like, and how does that flow out of us. So anyway, that's my stuff.
You said 7 minutes per thought. Is that what you so? Yeah, you may want to go plug the crockpots back in. A couple things as we were worshiping this morning, the kind of shouting on a word. I so wanted to shout out propitiation, which most of us don't typically think of, but that's kind of where I live in the gospel and the significance of what that means. In the faith, I think of that verse towards the end of six, where it says they want to make much of themselves. They want to have this right standing. That's who wants to insert the law so they can compare themselves to it and compare you to it, and this very counterproductive judging kind of thing. And as human beings, the average human being, if you said, okay, so we have this great teacher Jesus, most people, unless they're really, really anti-God, would say, yes, he was a historical and he was a good teacher. They would ascribe, he lived a good moral life, he's a good teacher. And then you have people like Hitler or in fact, I at a high level, I know Hitler was an awful person, but in some ways I can associate more with some of the guards at some of the concentration camps, or what, you know, the people that beat Wormbrand's feet, there's more of a direct access to evil behavior in some of those very human to human treatment of each other, rather than this macro, you know, Stalin. I can associate my heart, and if I would say everybody in this room and around the world, who do you most closely resemble? Who do you compare to? On this grand scale, if our measurement is Jesus and the guard who beat Wormbrand's feet, who are you closest to? And most human beings would resist the reality that they're not just close to, but they're exactly like that guard in their standing, in their position, in their righteousness. Completely broken, completely depraved, completely lost, incapable of doing anything that would ever be counted as good in the sight of God. And so if you can imagine that person going through to the end of their life and you know, Nazi trials, they find this guy and he's on trial and he's sitting in his jail. He has no illusions that he's not guilty. He knows what he did. He knows exactly what he deserves. And he's hopeless. And Jesus comes in and says, and he's going to be killed. He's going to be put to death for his crimes. And Jesus comes in and unlocks the prison, says, get out here. I'm going to do this for you. I got this. And we resist that. That's the reality of the gospel. You don't get to help. Either he was the substitutionary death, paying for everything you did, completely declaring you righteousness. Either you have righteousness credited to you by what Jesus did, or you don't. God would be unrighteous. God would be unjust if he ever asked anything from you to pay for your righteousness. Because the promise is, being children of the promise, Abraham's the same righteousness that was credited to Abraham by faith is credited to you for different reasons, because now we're in Jesus. But it's the same process. It's always been by faith. It's always been by faith. And if we want to try to give that back, if we want to try to add to it, we just frustrate ourselves. We want to somehow see ourselves closer to Jesus rather than condemned prisoners who've been set free. Now in that, and we're going to move into a few weeks, maybe a couple months on the gospel of the kingdom, and well, then how do we live? But everything depends on your motivation for stepping into the kingdom. The only way you'll be successful in the kingdom is if you step in as free people who go, I want to hang out with the king. I want to cooperate with the king. I'm grateful to the king. And so I want to step into whatever he has for me. And we're going to look at a lot of different facets of that. But it never, ever, ever will change your righteousness, your justification, your standing, how much God loves you. That's the big deal. And for me, I just want to share a story. Maybe you've been, you've heard me share this before. But the culture I grew up in, the Christian culture I grew up in, this is the confusion point. And so I watch all these people that I love and care about. So, well, yeah, sure, Jesus died for my sins, and I have to do this. And again, it doesn't matter what this we pick. It's all adding to. And so this is the front lines of the battle for me. This is where, because most of the people I know are good people trying to do good, and they have some sense of you know, a fear of God or a desire. They don't deny Jesus was a good teacher. They may even say he was the savior of the world, but I have to do these other things. And a number of you have heard me share the story when Kurt Warner came to faith in a little Bible study, and I'm not sure a lot of the background, but at that time, he was being held up as a Christian example. He was speaking at churches. He was leading Bible studies on teams. He was doing all this stuff, but he's Catholic, and that's not a bad thing. I just know what that thinking can be. I'm not saying every Catholic thinks this. I'm just saying it's a very common way of thinking. And he was just so convinced that, you know, no, I you have to do good works. You have to do good works. A confused gospel, and a few confused gospel, and everybody else. There was maybe 8 or 10 football players in the room, and I go, this. Yeah, I mean, I could see his life. I could see his frustration. I could see no power. I knew the Spirit. I was fairly convinced the Spirit wasn't in him, but he was one of the kindest, friendliest, gentle human beings. If anybody was righteous and doing good, loved kids, I mean, he was just a noble man, and yet I knew, or I sensed, I was fairly convinced he was trusting in his good works. And we sat there for almost 2 hours. Yes, Jesus paid for my sins, but I have to do this. And then I would share more of the gospel. And then he'd say, yes, but we have to do these things. And share more of the gospel. And everybody else may have been bored out of their minds. But I watched him physically go. And then he raised his eyes with this big smile. And he goes, I don't have to do anything. But I want to. That's the gospel. That's gratefulness. He immediately got, we went down to a lake and baptized all these guys in the headlights of a lake that was probably illegal. His whole life was transformed. I fight for the simple gospel because I see it so important in people that I know and love. I'm not content to let people be Jesus plus. Now, if they rest in the gospel and they get saved and they later go to Jesus plus, I can live with that. But I want real clarity. So fight for your understanding of what it means to believe. Believe in Jesus, and believe means believe. It's all it means. It's being persuaded that his death paid for your sins, and you access that by believing him, believing in him, that he was the Messiah, the only Messiah. So we want to wrap up here. Any closing thoughts or prayers or anything? Okay. Well, King Jesus, we do tell you that our jail cell, our death sentence didn't get forgiven, didn't get waived. We haven't been pardoned. It's all been paid for. In our account, righteous and unrighteous, our account is full with righteous. That's how you see us. Help us to see each other and ourselves that way. And we do, Lord. We want to honor that. We want to express gratitude. We don't want to be like the 9 lepers that walk away from that jail and go, cool, I'm going to just go sow to the flesh. We want to cooperate with you. There's billions more who have never heard that. They're waiting to respond. And you're on a mission, search and rescue mission, to seek and to save that which is lost. And we want to cooperate with you. but not so you love us more, not so we can hold on to our salvation, because you are worthy and we are grateful. Let us live in the light of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.